Before we begin the service, Brother Gordon, could you have a seat with dear ones, let's bow our hearts in prayer. Lord God Almighty, we find ourselves in thy holy presence in this morning, and we give thee thanks for this day, for this opportunity. We thank thee for thy presence, O Lord. Thy promise is with us that where we gather in thy name, more than two or three, thou wilt be with us. And so, Lord, in that faith we have gathered. And in that faith we open thy word of life and pray that thy spirit would lead and direct our thoughts. The word that is before us, O Lord, is one that takes us to a high, high plane. And so, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be receptive as thou wilt instruct us as we have all come together to rejoice with the Budimilich family, the Popovich family, with our dear brother Gordon and sister Jenny, as they have come together to be wed and to make their vows before thee, the living God. And the words of instruction, O Lord, that we have before us, O Lord, we pray that each one of us would be brought into that perfect harmony with thee, Lord Jesus Christ, to live with thee, to be directed by thee, O Lord, and to live our lives in that joy that thou, Lord Jesus, leadest us to when we submit ourselves unto thee and to one another. So bless our gathering, bless this service, O Lord. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So, dear ones, as we have come together for this special occasion, come together to rejoice with our dear families. The word that I would like to remain with is the one that is very common to be read at a wedding, and that is in the Epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter number 5. And I like to read the first two verses and then continue with verse 21 to the end. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Dear ones, the words that we have read are, if we consider how short this passage is that we have read, yet we have to look at it as complete. It's complete. When Jesus spoke, and when he came to this earth and he spoke, the people were astounded at his words. He didn't give some elaborate, long stories and instructions. His instructions were simple and pure, easy to be understood, full of meaning, a complete direction. No man spoke as he. The people looked and marveled. No one ever spoke. All of the philosophers of the ages, as they spoke, and the things that they brought, and another philosopher comes and makes those past and of extinction, and here comes Jesus on the scene, and they marveled. And so when we look at these verses that we read here together, we have to look at these verses as absolutely complete in the direction that we are given, brothers and sisters, as husbands and wives. It is for you, Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny, a complete instruction in the ways of your marriage. There's not a lot written here in words, but in meaning. It goes deep from the heart of God and into our hearts. And so that's why I feel it's so important that we begin and really set the tone of what the Apostle Paul is speaking of here when we begin with, be ye followers of God as dear children. Brother Gordon, Sister Jenny, this isn't a new instruction for you. This isn't something that you're going to learn today. You've learned this when you gave your hearts to the Lord Jesus. Paul is now instructing. And you know, today, there's probably, I don't know this, but there's probably more books written, self-help, marriage, counseling, than probably any other subject. I don't know. I know there's lots of it. And it should continue to be written, books and books and volumes. And we can read all those books, and unless they bring us to this, they're all meaningless. Just like the philosophy of old. It's meaningless. When we look at the words of Jesus Christ and he tells us, be ye followers of God as dear children. Those are the words of the Holy Spirit of God brought into the heart of the Apostle Paul as he puts it to paper with his pen and says, be followers of God as dear children. Those are the words of Jesus Christ himself. Follow me. Hymn writers have written hymns. Follow me, the Lord is pleading. Come, I am the way and the life. And so outside of these simple instructions, Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny, and for all of us husbands and wives, we can read books and volumes of books if we don't look at these first verses that begin this great call. All of it will pass and be meaningless. What does it mean to be a follower of God? To be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? And I know we've covered this in the past, but a follower, the Greek word is to be an imitator. You imitate the one whom you adore. Just as our children, we see our children when they're small. They adore their mom and dad. They look at them, and whatever they see, they observe. They look at every movement. They react, and they imitate. It's the cutest thing, right? They sit, and they observe, and they adore those their parents, and they imitate what they're doing. Apostle Paul is calling us to that adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you adore and love your Savior, Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny, and you follow him, and you imitate him, that's all you need to know. Be followers of God as dear children, he says, and walk in love. How much instruction is given here? He takes us to the highest plane of service. Love. This isn't romance. This isn't romance. This is a commandment from God. This is the highest form of love. It is the love that God has showed towards you and me to the world when he gave his only begotten Son to be that sacrifice, that burnt offering, that complete sacrifice that all of the sacrifices of old had pointed to. He came to fulfill. He was that burnt offering for you and me. As we covered this past Wednesday, he became that curse so that you and I could be redeemed. This is the love. He says, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. That's the love that you are to walk in. You can read books. I can speak here for 3 hours. It doesn't matter. If this is ignored, your life will be a disaster. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and what hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. This is a commandment for you, Brother Gordon. It's not philosophy today will say, and we hear within our own circles many times, well, he's not easy to be loved, or this person can't be loved because he's very difficult to love. That's what you'll find in the philosophy. That's not what you're going to find in Christ. Well, were his enemies easy to love? Were you and I easy to love when we hated him? When we wanted nothing from him? When he came and gave, he was that sacrifice for us. He became a curse. Were we easy to love? But he loved us. And so the man is without excuse. He's not calling here for an emotion from you, Brother Gordon. He's not asking you to love Sister Jenny with an emotion. He's calling you to a love that rises above all things, sacrifices self for the good of the one you love. And then, it is easy for you, Sister Jenny, to be submissive unto your husband. How many of us, as believers, do we find it that the Lord is oppressive? That the Lord, who gives us the commandment, the first commandment, it's the love, it's a commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, thy heart, and thy soul, and thy neighbor as thyself. Those are commandments of God. And we love him. Do we find him oppressing us? Do we find him in placing upon us burdens that we can't carry? That he won't carry for us? Do we find him as unresponsive to our needs and so on? No. And so this is what your love for your wife brings about. You are easy. You're easy to be submissive to. As we are being called here, he says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. In the fear of God. And then this is something that the feminist movement from the 70s has mocked and tried to take away in every facet that they could. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. How? As unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. You know, when man today reads, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands," never is a man to look and say, "Yeah, you got to listen to me." You know, look what verse 25 tells us husbands. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church. And what? Gave himself for it. Gave himself for it. So, who has here the greatest responsibility? It's the husband. As Christ loved the church, that is how our love is to be towards our wives. If we are not followers of God, how are we going to be a priest in the home? How are we going to be able, because it says us here that Christ is the Savior of the body. And so, and Jesus himself had quoted from Genesis when he says, "And they twain shall be one flesh." It says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh." In God's marriage, one plus one equals one. You are not separate. You are one. When you make your vows and your marriage is consummated, you are one person. You care for her like you do yourself. You respect and love him like you do yourself. As the Lord has showed us the example, the only example. The words are so few here, and I marvel at the depth and the instruction that we can receive if we simply look into this. The Bible tells us to grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And so as priests of the home, we are to look to see that our house is led in a manner in which we become also, as Christ is the Savior of the body, and Christ, through his word, is continually sanctifying his body, his church, his bride. So you as the priest of the house, Brother Gordon, and we as husbands are to continually see to it that our wives, our families together are nourished in the ways of the Lord, and we speak about the Lord, and we bring about within our household those things which are imitating our Savior. When would Christ ever call us into any kind of debauchery of any kind? To please himself. Never. So as husbands, we are to look. And as husbands, the Bible makes it very clear that we are the leaders. And as we lead, so the wife responds to the leadership, which is in Christ. And so as we lead, she responds. It's not up to the wife to come up to the man and "I love you." The man shows his love to his spouse, to his wife. Not in words, in deeds. Just as we, brothers and sisters, as imitators of God, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. In Isaiah, I'd like to just read very, very sad account of what it says there. He says, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them, and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. To grieve the Holy Spirit, to vex the Holy Spirit. How is the Holy Spirit going to show the fruit of the Spirit? It's his fruit. The first of which is what we are being called to, that highest plane of life, of living, is to love. And so the fruit of the Spirit is demonstrated by the Spirit into those who are not grieving the Spirit. And so if we grieve the Spirit, it's a recipe for disaster in a marriage. How are you going to lead? How are you going to have the headship? Look at Adam and Eve. We look at the perfect example there. They switched roles somehow. Adam was not the leader. He was there. He saw the temptation taking place. He saw Eve. They switched roles. She was now dealing as the head, thinking with her head, and she was deceived. And Adam suddenly became the one who was responding with his heart, completely switched their roles around. And he simply just sinned, followed, as Eve, his wife, did. They switched roles. Because we know what God does. He says, Adam, where are you? He didn't say, Eve, where are you? He said, Adam, where are you? Where were you? Where are you? So, brothers, we have a high calling. A high calling. Life isn't just romance and possessions, and we're called to a love that is sacrificial as Christ was, that will be willing to be spent for the one whom we adore. As the head of the house, the leader, headship, that's all in Christ's perfect plan. We see Joshua who was the captain of Israel. We see Joshua who it tells us as it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand, and Joshua went unto him. Joshua is the captain of Israel. And he says unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? He didn't realize that the man before him was with a capital M, the pre-incarnate Christ himself who had come. And the response is, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua, what did he do when he realized who he was, who was standing before him? He says he fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? This is the head, the commander, the general, under the captain of our soul. What saith my Lord unto his servant? This is the direction that you and I, husbands, must take. As the leaders, as the priests, as the headship in the house, we got to look to the captain of our souls, the one who in his pity redeemed us, and say and ask him, what sayest thou unto thy servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, off thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. If this is our response to our Lord's leading us, husbands, brothers, we are imitators of God as his dear children, and we walk in love, in the love that is not hard to love. We are commanded to love as Christ loved. That means we are to love our enemies. We're to love those who use us. We are to love in the highest plane, because the Lord our God gave us his example. He came and walked this way. He brought God down to earth and showed us who God is. And unless you and I know him, and Brother Gordon, unless you continually, because the Lord God is continually sanctifying you with his word, with his blood, he continually sanctifies and molds you so that you would come into that perfect image, so that you would never think to say one bad thing about your dear wife to anyone. Not to your brother, not to your sisters, not to your mom and dad, not to anyone. God forbid that out of your mouth would flow words of putting down your wife. And you too, Sister Jenny, to say something against your husband. Would you ever say something against Christ? Never. The thought to go about and to bring someone down, that's not at the highest plane of love. That's not willing to sacrifice anything. That's not the object of my love and desire, the adoration. No. I've taken my eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm no longer an imitator of him. If I'm going to go around and tell people that my wife is no good or my husband is no good, I've left. I've looked away from the Lord Jesus. I am not following him. I have stopped. And when I stop, I'm falling backwards. There's no such thing as remaining motionless in the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus is constantly walking, and he says, follow me. Continually put your hands on the plow and follow me. Don't look back. There's nothing that can fulfill your joy, Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny, in your marriage than being the follower and imitator of Jesus Christ. Nothing else. You're going to have millions of dollars. It's meaningless. You're going to have all the biggest houses and the baddest cars. You can portray yourself as something great. It's meaningless. The riches of this world cannot give you what Jesus can give you. And the poverty of this world, the nothingness, to have nothing, to walk in poverty, cannot take away the joy that you can have together in Christ Jesus. That's what you are to look to foster in your home, Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny, to look at your husband. Never put her down. Never put him down. Esteem her high. Esteem him high. Reverence him. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. The Popovich is dropped. She becomes a Budimlich. You are one. You're one. There's nothing more precious and beautiful. And Jesus then is in your home, in your heart, in your life, directing you. Look to him, the captain, Brother Gordon. Look to him in all things. He says, no man yet ever hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Unless we really consider what this is saying, you cannot dismiss Jenny in anything, Sister Jenny. You can't. You look at her, she is part of you. Just as the church is part of the body of Jesus Christ. He is the head. We are the body. We are one with him. You two are now one. When she hurts, you hurt. If you don't, you're not living on this plane of love that God is commanding you to live on. To live on that plane is when your arm hurts you, you do something with it. You need your arm. When your leg hurts you, you do something. If you cut yourself, you wrap the wound, you take care of it. No man yet hateth his own flesh. He takes care of it. That's how you two become one and are to care and love one another as Christ loves his church. When he sees us, he takes care of us. And so it is. So he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. That mystery was unveiled in Christ. That mystery of the church that was prophesied and lived through sacrifices. It all came to fulfillment. And we see, it says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. Again, if you see, I believe if you're honest with yourselves, brothers and sisters, if we are honest with ourselves too, if there is something that is failing in our marriages, we've taken our eyes off God. We can get counsel. We can go to psychologists. We can read the books. We can do whatever we want unless we put our eyes back on Jesus Christ and begin to imitate his love. It will be futile. I've never been involved with counseling of marriages that it worked with. They've all dissolved. When you take your eyes off of Jesus Christ and you don't sense it, you don't sense it in your daily devotions and prayers, and look who Jesus Christ is and the love that he has for you and for the church and for all mankind, and understand that we are being called to imitate him. If our eyes are taken off of that, nothing else matters. Your life is meaningless. And so, dear ones, Apostle Paul says he wants to present us, the church, as a glorious church. Not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but they should be holy and without blemish. And so he says that's how you are to love your wife. And in the following chapter, he speaks about different honor your father and mother. And you know, you can't ask your children if the Lord blesses you with them. You can't ask your child to respect your wife if you don't respect her. You can't expect your child to respect and to obey your husband if you don't. They're going to look at you. They're going to look at you and see who you are. And they're going to imitate you. And it will probably stay carved within their hearts of how a man is to treat a woman, how a woman is to treat a man. Only the Lord can take that away with the regeneration. And so you have a tall, tall order and a high, high plane to live on as a husband and a wife. It's the same plane you're called to when you came to the Lord. And so it is my desire, my dear brother and my dear sister, that you would truly just fast your eyes upon Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the answer. He is everything. I love the verse that we sang that Brother Bob found. It says, Holy Spirit, thou was given that my faith but Christ would seek. Don't vex the Holy Spirit. He was given to you that you would seek Christ. He's going to point you to the captain of your salvation, the one who redeemed you, the one who brought you together. It's God's providence alone that brought you together. I know, Brother Gordon, you spoke to me. You didn't plan on marrying right now. And it's God's providence that brought Sister Jenny and the Popovich is here, and God brought you together. Let no man put that asunder, Jesus is saying. Don't allow anyone to get into your hearts and lives and to cause a rift, and he brought you together. Believe that. Love him and love one another. And God will bless you richly. And I'm talking blessings that the world cannot give, the world cannot take away. They're heaven sent. May he bless his word upon our hearts. I'd like to leave room for Brother Matei in the Romanian language.
Dearly beloved, we gather here in the sight of God and in the presence of these many witnesses to join together this brother and sister in holy matrimony, which is an honorable estate instituted by God. The bond of marriage are not to be entered into unadvisedly or carelessly, but reverently, prayerfully, and in the fear of God. Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny, if this is your desire, please indicate by joint of your right hands. Brother Gordon, will you take Sister Jenny as your lawfully wedded wife, to have and to hold yourself only unto her from this moment forth, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, to provide for and protect, according to God's holy word, until death do you part?
I do.
Sister Jenny, will you take Brother Gordon as your lawfully wedded husband, to have, to hold only unto him from this moment forth, for better or for worse, for richer or for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, to support and encourage, according to God's word, until death do you part?
I
would like to ask you in Romania also. Soră Jenny, te făgădește cu ajutorul lui Dumnezeu, îl iei în căsătorie pe fratele Gordon, ca de acum înainte să trăiești împreună cu el, la bine și la rău, în bunăstare sau sărăcie, sănătoși sau bolnavi, să-l respect și să-l iubești până când moartea vă va despărți. Da. For so much then as you, Brother Gordon, and your sister Jenny, have consented together in holy wedlock and have pledged yourself to each other before Almighty God and these witnesses, and have declared the same by the joining of your right hands, I, therefore, the minister, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in accordance with the laws of the state of Ohio, pronounce you husband and wife. What therefore God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Deci, ce a împreunat Dumnezeu, omul să nu despartă. Congregation, please arise.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thrilled to be here this morning to witness to becoming one in you. And Father, as we've just witnessed the marriage of Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny, we lift them up to you in prayer collectively as a body here. We pray for them, Father, and we pray that the wonderful message that we heard this morning about Christ and the church, and as it's reflected in a marriage, we pray that it would be reflected in Brother Gordon and Sister Jenny. And that as people look at them and their relationship, that they would see you and they would see the relationship with you and the church. Father, we pray for Brother Gordon. We lift him up to you and ask that you would give him the strength and the discipline and the desire to live his life with the understanding of the responsibility that he has as a husband, possibly as a father in the future. Lord, that he would take that responsibility seriously, that he would love Sister Jenny as Christ loved the church and willing to die for her as Christ died for the church. Lord, that love would be there every day in their relationship. And Father, that he would take his spiritual responsibilities seriously as well, to be an example to the family, to live the way Christ lived, to be the example, the way Christ was the example. Father, we pray for him. We pray for him that he would take that responsibility seriously and that he would love Sister Jenny with all of his heart, mind, and soul. And Father, we also pray for Sister Jenny that she would be the church to Christ, that she would respect Brother Gordon, that she would also love him, but respect him, submit to him as the church submits to Christ. And Father, that she would reflect that in her life and in her walk. And Father, that we would pray for them together now too. We would pray that as they've become one flesh, Lord, as they've joined hands, as they've become one in you, that we recognize that the work that they've been doing for you separately, that you might have a different work for them as a couple. And we pray, Lord, that they would recognize that responsibility and take that seriously as well. Lord, we pray that the responsibility that they have as a couple would be evident to the church, would be evident in their families, would be evident to the people that they work with, that they communicate with, their neighbors and their community. Lord, we pray for them that as one, that they would show the love of Christ, and that the role, whatever it is that you would have for them as a couple, Lord, that they would take it with a focus on you, with a focus on your word, with a humble submission to your authority in their lives. Lord, that they wouldn't lord over each other, that they wouldn't be split or divided. But when people see them, that they would see Christ in the church. And Lord, whatever the responsibilities you have for them, whatever role you have for them as a couple, Lord, let them live it out to the best of their ability. We pray that their relationship with their families would grow and flourish, even though it's different. Father, we pray for them that they would take the opportunity to just be strong examples of you to their families. And we pray also that the families, both the Budimlich and the Popovich families, Lord, that they would embrace them and nurture them and strengthen them. Father, that just collectively it would be this amazing image of Christ and his church. Father, there might be times in their relationship that get rocky, and we pray that they would have the courage to seek you in those times as well. That they would seek you first, and that as they seek you, that you would draw them closer and closer together, no matter how tough things might become, no matter how challenging they become, both through the good times and the bad, that their love would be a focus on you, that they would love you, that they would seek you, and that you would strengthen their relationship because of it. Please, Lord, bless them. Bless their marriage. Bless their relationships. Bless their families. We rejoice in this day and are so thankful for it, and pray, Lord, that it would be about you and that their lives would be about you. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Congregation may sit.
Let's sing from hymn number 79, verses 1, 3, and 6. After first verse.